Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Joy to the World has always been one of my favorite Christmas carols. I don't know why, but so many Christmas carols just seem too, well, heavenly for my taste. What I like are all those fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, heaven and nature singing. After all, the point of Christmas is that God has come to earth, that he has come to get his feet dirty, as Samuel L. Jackson put it in one movie, to walk the earth. What with all the angels, astrological phenomena, and so much nostalgia, sometimes you can practically choke on it, it's easy to lose track of the earthiness of Jesus. Christmas is not just heaven coming down for a nice visit. It's the point in time where heaven comes to earth to stay, to make earth more heavenly. The Gospel of Luke, which we will be reading through this year, focuses on earth, on a world that is transformed, restored through the good news of Jesus. In today's reading, we heard that gospel introduced for the first time by an angel. Do not be afraid. I bring you gospel, good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Well, Luke starts off our reading for today in a very worldly introduction. Caesar Augustus, the ruler of the known world, taking a census of the entire known world. Well, you gotta pay the man, and Caesar wants to make sure he gets his due, so first you count the people, and then you tax the people. Yet, smack dab in the middle of Caesar's power play, God is beginning to redo his own kingdom, along with all the kingdoms of the world, by establishing the true king, Yahweh's Christ. But instead of starting in the capital of the world, Rome, he begins in the city of David, Bethlehem. Of course, since God is unfortunately not always welcomed with open arms into this world, as evidenced by no room in the inn and shortly thereafter life on the run from Herod, God almost has to sneak into the world through the back door. God's kingdom, if you think about those Christmas angels, was introduced privately, first only to those who absolutely needed to know. Mary, of course, needed to know what was going on, as did Joseph, and Zachariah and Elizabeth, who probably housed Mary during much of her controversial pregnancy. But that Christmas night, the reading we just read about, was the beginning of Jesus' introduction to the world that he would one day die for and later rule. Fittingly, this good news is introduced publicly in the skies and fields of Bethlehem, David's city. But I guess publicly is not quite the right word for it. I mean, if you think about it, more sheep than human beings heard and saw this angelic announcement. Luke's gospel focuses on a world change, but it starts pretty small. Not only does it start with a baby, but the announcement is limited to the Bethlehem, and actually to less than that, to a small section, a few skies and fields outside of Bethlehem, probably in one particular valley in the Judean mountain range. But while the rest of the world had to wait, and can you imagine what those quiet and peaceful fields that suddenly were turned in loud and noisy, filled with a great clamor of heaven and earth rejoicing. Now, I've always imagined, I think, maybe because of pictures I've seen, or who knows what reason, that angels were way up there in the sky. But I think, after thinking about it a little bit, those angels might have been a lot closer, perhaps a little too close for comfort for those surprised shepherds. I mean, they had to have been low enough to hide behind the mountain peaks, because otherwise all of Bethlehem would have seen what was happening, not just a few shepherds who happened to be watching their sheep in that particular field. If you think about that, angels up close, you can see perhaps why the shepherds were frightened. What with angels perhaps no higher than a basketball court or a highway overpass, all of a sudden loud and in their face. And I can promise you that these angels were no chubby little cherubs, which probably lots of you love and maybe even collect, and no offense to any of you, but those chubby pushovers are a shoddy representation of angels, if ever there was one. It's a bit of a pet peeve of mine that angels at Christmas are a little bit misunderstood, a lot misunderstood, and badly misrepresented. You see, the angels of the Bible were not weenies. They were warriors. The first angel angelic choir was less likely what you might think of as heavenly angelic, like the beautiful voices of a children's choir, and more like the unruly din of a company of soldiers. Why else do you think the angels keep having to say over and over, "Do not be afraid, I'm bringing you good news"? No, really, I am. It's kind of like if the police showed up at your front door, you might be a little worried. But all these angels were actually bringing very good news, although God would need to send his police force more than once to make sure that baby and mother were protected. Think of soldiers singing marching music, something more like, "Hup, two, three, four, who is it that we adore? Jesus Christ of ancient lore. 5, 6, 7, 8, what should you anticipate? Fire, blood, and sin deplored, death defiled, sinners, you are reconciled." More like military and less like your children's choir is the point. Luke never says anything about a choir, actually. Instead, he refers to the angels in military terms. Now, these angels certainly can sing to beat the band. They're no slouches, Harold being the lone exception. But I think that first angel song was less like the beautiful and peaceful Silent Night that we'll sing with the lights dimmed a little bit, and more like the tumultuous and joyous roar of a victorious sports team or military expedition on the ride back home. In fact, that's exactly how Luke frames this heavenly outburst. A sneak peek, kind of like a behind-the-scenes show, if you've ever seen the show Hard Knocks, where a few cameramen go behind the scenes of a football team for a year, and you get to see special footage, which normally only the players and coaches would hear and share. Well, that's what these sheep and shepherds were getting, a sneak peek behind the curtain of heaven. They got a glimpse of what was really going on behind the seats, the humble roots of a future scapegoat turned champion of the people. Well, that's what we are getting this evening as well, a sneak peek. Now, much of the world doesn't care or grasp what's going on here. In fact, you may often, all of us probably do at times, view Christmas as simply a family get-together or a nice tradition, maybe a religious duty fulfilled. But that's not how God sees it. This Christmas, the incarnation of our Lord, is God's kingdom coming, and change is in the air as well as in the baby. Christmas is the beginning, you see, of God's solution to the problem of the darkness and sinfulness of this world. A baby who is born to set his people free. A baby who's born to die at Calvary. God is at work at changing this world, and it starts in those otherwise unremarkable fields and skies of Bethlehem. How about the skies and fields of Kandy, Ohio County? How is God changing us? Because you better believe if God is present, there is change going on. How might he be appearing to us and forever transforming our world, our little section that he has granted us to live in? Jesus has come to change the world around him. Dramatically, he will see him transforming the lives of his disciples. They leave their fishing boats, tax collecting booths for life on the road. They left the comfortable and the familiar and embraced God's unpredictable path for their life, following their Savior. Just as Jesus comes to those shepherds, he comes to us as well. Now, it's our choice whether we want to engage with him in conversation. In one sense, it's up to you whether you want to dare to risk a relationship with God or whether you'd just rather hold him at an arm's length, visiting him just every once in a great while. Because Jesus is here with us, and he speaks to his people on a regular basis every Sunday. He comes to share his gifts with us and to change us. And if you stick around him, you're bound to be transformed. But of course, it's your choice whether to stick around or to go look the other way or hide. Now, those fields and skies of Bethlehem, they looked pretty ordinary. And those shepherds, well, they were just regular old Josephs. But when God showed up, those fields were anything but ordinary. Rather, they were extraordinary, filled with good news. Well, God fully intends to change and transform our lives, to give us good news if only we will listen to him. If we follow him and are present with him and is in the places where he promises to be present with us in his church, in his word, in his sacraments, you better believe he's going to change you. Joy to the world, our Lord has come. Now let us continue to come into his presence. Amen. We continue by collecting our offering to the Lord. And the joy of the Lord. We pray that you